Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, what a time to be alive. And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things each week to make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden. The long fade out made it really feel like the olden days there for a second. really brought me back.
Back when we all actually physically saw each other.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Impossible now.
But it is weird to think about the fact that, definitely, I've been seeing people occasionally outside in the park and stuff. But it is weird to think about. I talk to you guys every week and I have not physically seen either of you in, 7 months now?
More than that.
Fucking
probably,
weird.
Right? When did this all... God damn it.
Mid-March. Our last recording was probably March... I would guess March 10th or something like that.
Yeah.
March 8th.
Dude, I felt so bad last night because now I'm in my new apartment. I'm living alone, which, by the way, you can find our Patreon at patreon.com whatatimepod and support me living alone. Because I'm living alone now, I don't see... You know, I don't even have the presence of people around me or the sound of people. So I'm you want to go do stuff. And most people I knew couldn't, but I was I'm just going to go to a bar near me and, sit outside and have a beers and so that I can see people and feel. But Friday nights in Bushwick are because it's obviously only outdoor dining and it's table service. And it's really hard to get a table. And I went to this place near me and I waited and then I felt terrible the entire time I was drinking my beer because I was sitting by myself at a table while groups of people were staring at me. I was sorry, I'll be done soon. But I was I have to get out of my apartment. Yeah. But it was nice. It was fine. Survived.
Yeah, when I first got back to the city, I live in a 3-bedroom apartment, but when I first got back to the city, neither one of my roommates were around. And it's usually living alone is great, but living alone right now is definitely a little stranger for sure.
Yeah.
But I also do that because I live right by a couple blocks away from the big Western Crown Heights nightlife street. And I will very frequently just go sit at a table by myself and feel like a weirdo. But just I need to look at people. I need to I need to overhear other people's conversations that I don't know. That's
very
important to me.
Need to be reminded that there's life on this planet.
I heard a really good one last night, actually. I was sitting outside. I went to get a drink on my way home. And I just stopped for a minute, drank half of it, and then walked home. But there was this table of super loud... old black guys with very stereotypical South Brooklyn construction worker accents, you know, very hey, how you doing? That kind of thing. And this guy, I think he was a little drunk and he was screaming, "My wife, she's a Leo. She's a lioness." And I was this guy fucking rules.
Very
this is,
good.
A very wonderful hybrid of old and new Brooklyn that this old South Brooklyn guy is talking about the astrological sign of his wife. I just was very happy.
Well, the other thing is that it's around here where I live now, these bars all have outdoor seating and the homeless people in the area have figured it out and they just literally do a loop over and over and over. Asking for money from everybody at the outside tables. So they just go around the block over and over when they, bring in new tables. But then also last night, there was this woman who was so strange. She was kind of dressed not a raver, but she was so weird. She's just all in yellow with kind of her hair up in a sort of pebbles from Flintstones and was clearly an older lady. And then she came up to me at the table and she was "I'm so sorry." And her voice was kind of weirdly high. And she was "Would you happen to have a dollar so I can buy some candy?" And I was no, I'm sorry. I don't have cash on me. And then she just went down and asked everybody. And every time she specified it was to buy some candy. And it was really unsettling. It was actually quite strange.
I hope she got some candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's on the other hand, it's if it's for candy, I think you'll be all right without, if you don't get candy. If that's truly the purpose of this money, you know, it's just a sweet tooth situation.
Well, everybody deserves a treat.
Yeah.
She eats some sour sketty, man.
Yeah.
All right. I'm the asshole, I guess, for this. Not giving this lady dressed like a fucking sunflower money for candy.
If you're dressed like a sunflower, that's all you eat. She just subsists on candy.
She's got to attract bees. Needs to be sugary.
An actual bumblebee. She was asking for honey, and she kept asking if I'd seen the queen. And I was like, "What queen?" She was like, "I need my orders." And then she flew away. She was this big. She was very small.
And, speaking of nature, it's that time again, guys.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Reminded us, we discussed this last year as one of the numbers. We won't go over it again in our main segment, but it is once again Fat Bear Week 2020. Crazy year. Is that a bear? It sounded like a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's a bear.
It's a bear.
Motorcycle bear. It's a bear on a motorcycle.
Yeah, it's Fat Bear Week again. It's that time. They're getting ready to hibernate. The bears are getting real fat. There's a bracket. There's a tournament. You can vote.
Do we have Ramble Rock on the soundboard? I forget.
We should.
Some sort of ESPN.
Yeah, play some Ramble Rock. So if you go to KatmaiNPS on Twitter, they have the whole bracket posted. Some pics of all the fat bears. It's a good field this year. It's a strong field. Quote from someone who works at Katmai, the poll quote from this Mashable article is just, quote, "The bears are enormous this year." So
the parity in the league is great this year. There's a lot of contenders, you know. Nobody's rebuilding.
We're looking forward to a real strong season for fat bears this year.
Yeah, voting starts to September 30th and it ends, I think, October 6th. I think that's the week. So it's going to be a couple days after this comes out.
November 2nd is the voting for Fat Bear Week.
This is what everyone's talking about when they're telling you to vote.
Yeah, that's talking about Fat Bear Week.
Vote by mail is really going to fuck up Fat Bear Week. It's going to be a huge problem.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, they're already gearing up to file a bunch of lawsuits, and it's going to be great. About Fat Bear Week, I mean.
I'm really worried Holly's going to refuse to give up power if she doesn't win.
It's a big concern.
Holly, she was the winner last year, I believe.
There it is.
Folks, it's time. It's that time of year again. We're back in the forest. We got picnic baskets. We're checking out the fattest bears of the year. We got Holly, the reigning champion, and other fat bears coming in hot at her heels. Throw it to our field reporter, another fat bear. What do you think, fat bear?
I can do the bit for the whole song.
It's interesting, like, some of them have names and some of them don't.
Taco Bell? What's going on?
Yeah. Yokiero Fat Bears?
We got...
the ones that have names... Yeah, I mean, like, the ones that have names... Well, no, Walker got kind of screwed, because Walker has a name, but Walker's the only one who's in the first... Oh, no, Walker and Chunk are both in the first round.
Are they seeded?
Yeah, they're seeded.
I feel like I wouldn't vote for a fat bear called Walker, because it's like, you're doing the thing that makes you less fat. Yeah. Like, I definitely am voting for Chunk over Walker. Far as names go.
Well, Chunk and Walker would not meet until the finals, but Holly got a first round bye.
That's my favorite part, is that someone has a bye.
Two people have a bye. Grazer also has a bye.
So, yeah. And Otis too, and whoever 747 is, which is obviously the most powerful number to have as in terms of your fatness.
Is that a numbered name, or is that a real name that just happens to be numbers?
That's a good question. Like, some of them have are like bear number 856, but 747 might just be his name.
Well, it's not in quotes, but it should be his name for sure. Unless you want to call him like Jumbo or something.
Jumbo Jet, Jumbo Jet, the fat bear.
But. Yeah, and also exciting development is that Holly, who's number 435, 435's cub is also this year an entrant in the first round. Looks
Wow.
might be walking into a buzzsaw, by the name of Grazer, who is waiting to meet them in the second round. But we'll see.
It's always nice to see a dynasty get going, though. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keep it in the family.
Holly will be able to retire knowing that the title is in good hands. You know, Holly's in sort of her like late Brett Favre years, and her cub is the Aaron Rodgers that's ready to take over the Fat Bear crown.
A tradition unlike any other, Fat Bear Week.
America's Fat Bear Week.
I do have some news that might help you fill out your own bracket. So Bear 747, previously discussed, Jumbo Jet, there's an article about him from a month ago, August 25th, saying that he had already gotten so big that he is having difficulty walking. So okay. An early strong contender. That was what was going on in August.
And in itself, that will cause him to become fatter because...
Oh, man, just imagining 747 lumbering around to this. Excellent.
Are we doing brackets? We should do brackets and tweet it out.
We should.
Yeah.
We should put our picks in.
This bear's fat as fuck now.
The problem with 747, though, is, like, if he can't walk, that means he might not be able to go get as much salmon, you know? Because, like, if he's having mobility issues. So might lose a little bit of weight.
And nobody's allowed to feed them,
I assume.
In that article, Kath,
there's a video of him just, like, not being able to go up a hill. He's, like, too fat to go up a hill.
It seems like he might die, actually.
This video is pretty good. I feel very bad for him.
Here, show it to the listeners.
referring to him... as his rotund butt is already on the struggle bus. It's like, okay, you know, like, why don't we give him a break here?
Don't be rude. Yeah.
I guess there's a lot more salmon than usual for whatever reason, probably because there aren't people all over the place.
Nature's healing.
And so I guess they're getting even fatter than usual.
They should have Fat Salmon Week, like right, like the exactly half a year before Fat Bear Week.
Don't be rude.
Yeah, I do think it's somewhat rude. I think to include a baby bear is mean. Let them mature.
Yeah, you had like an instant reaction to that when you saw that. You were like, "Well, that's not right."
Yeah,
like,
that's not nice.
The rest of this is fine, but
if it's a fat baby, it's simply it's just like a vote of confidence and a nice thing for the gathering skills of their parent, because their parent's like, you know.
That's
like
true.
If you saw
like
a
Holly...
fat little bird, you'd be like, damn, that bird's mom must be regurgitating so much food into its mouth.
I don't know if that's the first thing I would think, but...
Different strokes.
But yeah, no, if Holly... Like, Holly won last year, so the fact that she is herself very good at getting fat and now is also catching enough salmon to also fatten up her baby, pretty impressive.
Yeah.
She's really doing double the work. I think that... you know, this is bear patriarchy not acknowledging the fact that she's doing double what the male bears are doing.
Yeah. Holly signed to record-breaking contract after performance.
We have a quote here. The competition is going between the fat bears and the really fat bears. That's the all the bears are fat this year, which is a very pleasing sentence to me.
Very good. Yeah. Like, not a lot of good news in 2020, but all the bears are very fat this year.
All the bears are fat this year. Kind of, it's got like a poetic. It's in a good meter, you know.
Bears are fat this year.
And bear and year are, I don't know what the term is for it, but it's like they don't rhyme, but they, you know, they're aesthetically similar, and they're kind of like, you know, cousins or something. I forget what that, but yeah, it's just a good sentence all around. So
could definitely see that being in a Robert Frost poem about the North or something, you know.
All the bears are fat. They're on the lake aisle at Innisfree.
Yeah, it sounds like an old folk saying or something. It's like, well, all the bears are fat this year, you know.
Yeah.
747, I guess, was the winner in 2018, which I don't recall from last year. Or I don't know if he was the winner, but he was definitely he was a big boy.
I don't recall from our previous coverage of
we know Holly won, but yeah, let's see who won.
I remember because Tristan drew that comic of us talking about Bead Nose, and Bead Nose had won
yeah
recently, yeah. And we saw a picture of Bead Nose and like flipped out because he was so big.
409 Bead Nose was 2018, yeah. So I guess 747 kind of collapsed at the end. So maybe this is his year.
Literally collapsed. That's why.
Well, I couldn't get up the hill before. Yeah.
It sounds like 747 gets a strong start early and then kind of peters out toward the end. So yeah. We'll
choke
have
artist.
See.
Real choke artist.
He plays a lot of he plays cupcakes in the early games, and then once it gets into the conference, it's all over.
Well, know? the thing is that once he gets nervous. And then because of the level of anxiety he's feeling about the competition, he can't eat. And as such, in the late stretch, when everybody else is really packing it on to bring it home, he just can't keep up, you know?
Yeah. Maybe he'll overcome it this year, you know? Maybe this is his year. He's finally growing into himself, getting comfortable in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
I feel like every organism on Earth is fatter than it ever was before right now. I feel like everybody, like everything is 10 pounds heavier. Like the Earth's just going to fall out of orbit or something. It's like, whoa, this is not rated for this level of weight. Just compressed slightly. But, man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true because, like, people, there isn't as much sort of, like, human intervention into the non-human natural world because of all of this stuff. So, like, all the animals are eating better. And then we all, like, can't really go anywhere, so we're all getting fat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We deserve, you know, everyone gets a break from our shit, which is nice, I think.
Yeah. You can try your best to swing a kettlebell around or buy Ring Fit Adventure or, you know, Switch Boxing or whatever. But, yeah, I'm buying all the exercise video games because I don't have roommates anymore and no one can see me. So.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna get
I actually started going to the gym because my school that I work at has a gym, and they moved all of their equipment outside. So for the fall, so you can like go lift weights outside. So I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm not going to fucking Planet Fitness, but I was like, I'm finally ready to go back to the gym. And
I'd be more concerned about people like wiping stuff down because they don't ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's super not crowded. There's like, I've never seen more than one other person there. And like with COVID, surface transmission seems to not be that big of a deal. So, you know, I just wipe everything down. Like the biggest thing is I just don't want to be inside with a bunch of people breathing heavily.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see. No, I'm just kidding.
we'll find out, I guess. Good luck with that. We'll find out. She's like, all right.
You don't want to do squats with some motion controllers attached to a Switch? All right. Okay. It's the safe option.
Should we do numbers?
Yeah, let's do it.
Number 5.
Keeping the giant animal bee going, there is a new park on the Oregon coast that you can visit if you would like. It's in about Florence, not Italy, as we said. Brand new, just opened. Check it out. It's Exploding Whale Memorial Park. It's the delightful name of that. This is also the story from Stray Bag in the Discord, which I assume is a huge American Beauty fan, I guess. That's the, that's the movie where there's a stray bag that's beautiful, right?
Yep.
Yeah, all right. So yeah, this is a there's this park that was opening. It is named for a famous day. This is in 1970, where there was a massive sperm whale carcass that washed up, that beached on the Oregon coast, and they did not know how to get rid of it. I mean, I guess if it's a beached whale, you push it back out or whatever. But if it's a carcass, I guess it just keeps washing back up. Like it can't like get back out. So they decided the best option would be to blow up the whale with dynamite.
Yeah.
And they thought, I guess, that their like hypothesis here was that the dynamite would blow the whale into itty bitty particles and it would just be like poof and there would be no whale. Instead, it just rained whale viscera all over an entire city for like a day. Like huge pieces of blubber and like whale organs fell on people, fell on cars. So everyone, this is apparently like in Oregon, like this is like something that people remember. And then there's a little video here that I won't play, but discussing the exploded whale. But now this is another time where it's like not as bad as usual, but it's like, hey, if you're gonna let people vote on a name for something, you're going to get a name you probably don't like. And that was what happened.
Yeah.
They asked community for name suggestions. There were 120 plus. They narrowed them down to 9. And then the community voted. And because of them, there is now an official Exploding Whale Memorial Park. There's a great picture of the opening with somebody dressed in a whale suit as a mascot, which is very funny because it's a very happy whale suit, which I guess is, you're not going to be able to get like an upset or like about to explode whale face.
Is there like an exploding part of the whale in the mascot suit, like the head or something, or no?
No, actually, I mean, the head's a blowhole,
like,
but it's...
Yeah, it's a blowhole.
It's like a spray of water.
The other thing that's very funny about this costume is that it's really shitty. It's very bad.
It kind of looks like PPE.
Like
the bottom half just looks like PPE.
Yeah, it's like hospital scrubs blue, which I think is giving that impression.
Yeah, and those, another, the feetsies are like the coverings that they use.
Yeah, the little boot covers. Another thing about this article that is very weird is that half of it is just about how this happened the day Tanya Harding was born.
Yeah, they're like making a reference to that.
Very funny.
It was a sign.
Yeah. Tanya Hart, I think about her all the time. She fascinates me. But yeah, like two Oregon legends, the Exploding Whale and Tanya Harding. There's a related article where the headline is just Tanya Harding and the legend of the Exploding Whale were both born on this day in Oregon.
I love the idea of like the press being like, we can't cover this. Tanya Harding was born today. It's like, wait, like who's Tanya Harding? What are you talking about?
I thought every year it's like our yearly review of. That's so funny to imagine someone doing a story on a baby being born because they know it's going to be famous. Like somebody would be like, future famous ice skater Tanya Harding was born today, and everyone would be like, what?
It's like the Umbrella Academy.
What access do you have? Oh, man. Umbrella Academy Season 2. Don't check it out. It sucks.
It was fine.
I don't think.
It passes the time. Look. Yeah, that's look. That's all that matters now.
So does, you know, playing with, like, a Bop-It or whatever. But, no, they just...
If we all had Bop-Its, we wouldn't be talking about that.
I mean, I think the Umbrella Academy people got kind of like shoehorned into, because of the plot of the actual comic book. They were like, oh, so the entire second season seems to rest on the shoulders of a mediocre child actor. All right, well, let's try it. And then that's how I felt about it. But
wait, which,
that's my problem with like every show with
which
kids.
Actor's mediocre? The main kid, like the time
kid.
Travel kid.
Yeah, the he's time awesome. Travel kid. No, he's. I disagree.
Get out of here.
No, he's like doing a bad imitation of an adult. Drives me insane.
Wrong.
Get him out.
Get him out.
One thing, though, that's also fun
don't
about this...
Don't be a cutie pie, okay?
Ooh. Ugh. Yikes.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Don't be a cutie pie, okay?
Shelby's just a bully now. He's like, no, why don't you look closer? One thing that's also funny about this Exploding Whale Memorial Park is that, like, the picture... So both the suit and the picture of the whale that they have on the sign for Exploding Whale Memorial Park... is like a really like cute whale. It's like, you know, it's got this like anime eyes and stuff, but by the name of the park it implies that this whale is about to explode.
That so adorable, precious, cute round-eyed whale is the one that is about to explode.
Yeah, like they should have this sad. They should have this mascot walk around with a person in it, and then they should like swap the person out for when the park opens and then fill it with like straw and then blow the mascot up. And then that's the official. That's how they, instead of a scissors to cut a ribbon, they just use a whale shaped bomb to blow up the entrance. I don't know. Look, I'm not
convinced the bottom half of this suit is not one of the tuxes from Dumb and Dumber.
It does look like that.
Yeah,
with just like a little cap piece over it, which is the whale part. I don't know.
That'd be a good bit to watch someone get out of a mascot suit and they're wearing a tux under it, just sweating profusely.
I like the idea of like a giant squid, like a bunch of giant squid showing up to the opening, like out in the ocean, just being like good, like a dead
right.
And the only good sperm
arms.
Whale is a dead sperm whale.
A bunch of giant squid get there and are really bummed out because they thought it was like a buffet. They thought there'd be a free meal of exploded whale.
It's just that picture from Instagram of the guy who showed up to his hater's funeral to make sure he was dead, but it's a squid showing up to the whale.
Yeah.
It's the squids are tweeting the Nancy Pelosi clapping gif about exploding whale Memorial Park. Speaking of things that didn't get talked about enough, which I think somebody said, like, I think it was completely not covered enough that colossal squids are real, which was only found out like recently. And I feel like nobody was talking about it enough that they were like,
we had other stuff going on, man.
COVID or anything.
Yeah, it was like a while ago. Like they learned. When did they learn they were real? It was like
colossal. It was in our lifetime.
The first specimens of colossal squid were discovered and described in 1925. I think they thought they went extinct, and then in 1981, they'd never seen them.
Also, if they were identified and described in 1921, mermaids were also like identified and described in 1921. They were going by like
it was a monkey staple like, to drawing. A fish. Okay. Like, that's
That. So the thing that really happened in our lifetime was they caught the first live specimen.
They never caught one, I don't think.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page right now.
There's different names. It's like, because there's they're like giant, colossal. I'm talking about the one, they thought that a certain size of squid was mythical. And
you're talking about the 747 squid.
This is a prime Wikipedia thing where it's like,
I'm going to
jump on Wikipedia and just, for something I've read for the first time ever, but I'm just, look, I'll track it down. But some level of squid they thought was mythical until they found footage of, until they finally discovered it, like in the deep sea. I don't know if it's colossal giant.
It's the colossal squid. Like we're talking about the same thing.
Spotted. Okay.
The one in 2007.
Yeah, they like had never seen one alive until 2007.
10 meters in length. Does that include tentacles? That's not that big, frankly. Not impressed.
That's 30 feet. That's pretty big.
Not impressed.
I think, yeah, 30 feet is massive.
I feel like I'm just being so gaslit about this. It's like I'm reading stuff from a Wikipedia page. And you're like, no, that's not true.
It's like, talk about gaslit. It's just like, I'm going to look up and then immediately.
I'm looking at it.
I know. You fucking said it a million times. I get it.
You keep telling me that it's not true.
All right. Whatever. It's
get around.
Eli does not listen to.
Is it giant squid?
No, that one's smaller.
No, giant squid. The first images of the animal were taken in 2004.
You guys are thinking of the Gigundo squid. That's the biggest one.
Yeah. Maybe it is the giant.
The ginormous squid.
That's what it is. It's the ginormous squid. They didn't know it was real. And it was a huge deal. No, I remember watching there was like a thing on the Discovery Channel about it. I remember watching it.
It's giant. Yeah, I'm thinking of the giant squid. By the turn of the 21st century, giant squid remained one of the few extant megafauna to have never been photographed alive, either in the wild or captivity. They didn't find one. They found a baby in 2001. They found the first. They saw a live one for the first time ever in 2002.
Before that, they thought they only existed on people's tattoos.
Yeah, they thought it only existed on wood burnings that you bought at
exactly
Urban Outfitters. Okay, so I was thinking of the giant squid. It's so confusing. You can't have giant and colossal. You got to switch it up.
Scientists have hypothesized the presence of the big honkin' squid, but that one has not been.
It is very misleading to have the giant squid be larger than the colossal squid.
Yeah, I think that's what's like insane.
Very unfair.
I think it's because giant squid is like sounds like a cryptid. But colossal squid is more of a description because it is bigger than the colossal squid. It's this one's 10 meters.
There's a picture on the Wikipedia page for giant squid where they're showing its beak.
Yeah,
and
I don't like it.
It looks exactly like Goatsy. It's just literally just Goatsy, but a squid. It's really not cool.
It's very Cronenberg.
Yeah.
It's shit. I don't want to see it.
And this has the classic fucking Kraken tentacles that are so, so creepy.
I love the.
It has
I love
like two
the,
really long ones.
Midway down, there's like a wood carving or something, like and it's from 1861. It's a fish, like a French ship trying to catch one. I love the way they look in like the old photos, like just like they just like look like
oh yeah
real sea monster hours. Which I
Electon
which I
attempts to capture a giant squid. Is that the one?
Yeah,
yeah. But this is what I was thinking of the giant squid where there was. So basically that in 2002, they were like, hey, guys, I think we found a Kraken. Like, did we just
get
a photo of a Kraken? Is this possible?
So yeah, it looks like there were like a bunch of sightings, but yeah, they didn't have a physical specimen.
Yeah.
There's a pretty wild picture of one from 1873 where it's like hung up on a like clothesline, it looks like, and it's just
just like drapes.
Yeah, it's like creepy drapes, creepy tentacle drapes. Yeah. It's pretty wild.
Just off, absolutely awful looking.
Thumbs down.
Speaking of squids, this story has already gone off Yahoo. It got sent to me by Twitter's Bobby Bigwheel. It was about like a story that was aggregated on Yahoo through some like, you know, bullshit, you know, fake news or place. I don't know why it got on Yahoo News, but it was about some Russian scientist claiming that he and his people were on a research mission in the Arctic under the ice, and they fought a giant 14 tentacle squid. And to me, I was like, well, I want that to be real. Not that I want like eldritch horrors to be unleashed upon the earth, but I like to.
Why not? And,
well, yeah. I mean, I guess at this point, right? But
could this year get any worse?
Yeah.
So your last words before you're killed by a fucking Kraken?
I mean, if it's going to happen any year, right?
Yeah.
Could it be more 2020?
You say that, and then someone starts explaining to you, actually, it's not because of the year. It's because of decades of systemic failure, too. And then they just get eaten by Cthulhu. It's over.
Just saying, like, you know, thanks, 2020, as your arms are getting pulled off by this squid. You know, just kind of like, okay.
I also recommend, if you scroll all the way down on the giant squid article, they also have as, like, a reference, literally a drawing from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. It's, like, an illustration depicting a giant squid, and it full on is like has a guy wrapped up in a tentacle and another guy is attacking it with an axe, and they were like, this is also an illustration of this creature,
right? But, yeah, this is like literally what this is. It's not a mythical
I wish it
this
was
is
like
what
this.
They do
well, I guess with the length it could wrap you up like that. Ooh, oh no.
So like according to the cultural depictions section of the giant squid page, it says
controversy.
Comments about the Welsh. It says, in particular, the image of a giant squid locked in a battle with a sperm whale is a common one, although the squid is the whale's prey and not an equal combatant. I didn't know that. Yeah, I thought they were just wrestling for bragging rights to the sea or something. But well, no, they are. The squid is the prey. The squid is the.
I feel like that's. Yeah, that's like the only like proportional meal a sperm whale can find. Or if like it's a blue whale, it's like finally a good snack. Something that's like the right size.
Every sperm whale sounds like Tony Soprano and is looking for calamari. That's what this is.
I was gonna say, I'm pretty big
this
into
this is too
like,
fucked up for me even to think about.
That's what he sounds like. That's the squid that's the sperm whale thinking about exploded whale park. That's what he says. Well, one day perhaps we will all visit Exploding Whale Park.
One day we'll all get eaten by the giant squid.
Yeah. In New Jersey, they're going to have a head run over by car while at a gas station whale park. That's the way that Frank Vincent, I forget his character, but the way he dies in The Sopranos.
Whoa, man, I'm only on season
Spoiler.
Something.
Sorry. It's only been off the air for 15 years. Sorry, everyone.
It was actually unbelievable because I got distracted by another photo of a squid, so I didn't hear the spoiler.
Whoa. Perfect.
Yeah. But you know what? Right. Check out Exploding Whale National Park. It's actually, and I will say, there are pictures of the park. It's gorgeous. It's like a really nice park. So yeah, check it out if you have the chance.
We gotta go.
Yeah. I'd love to. Right.
Number four. This story comes to us from Mama Mia Hands in the Discord. I saw this a few places this week, and it really gave me joy every time. This is a story about Costco, our favorites. I was just talking to my co-host of Lie, Cheat, and Steal, Pat Sorois, yesterday, and he is in a new relationship, and basically the first thing he told me about his new girlfriend was that she has a Costco membership, and he was really excited about it.
Sure, yeah.
I love Costco, man. It's the best.
It's cool. It's cool to be in a big warehouse anytime, I think.
I
remember when I was a kid and we would go, I have like a very vivid memory of because they sell like everything, and they were selling trampolines, like giant like backyard trampolines, and they were hanging from the ceiling of the big warehouse. And I remember as a little kid looking up at those and being like, we have to get one. We must.
They've got so many. It's a.
And my mom was like, "It's insane that these are allowed to be sold. You would die if we got one of these." And she was right, and we never did.
Yeah. Kids love tramp. Yeah, we didn't have maybe we did have Costco, but the place we went was BJ's Wholesale Club. That was the place that was in. Yeah,
that like Sam's Club as well.
My memory might be Sam's Club. Like it might not be Costco, but you know, same deal.
Yeah, I think I only went like once or twice, but yeah, you're just like my fucking dad looking at one of those like 8 gallon tubs of plain Stonyfield yogurt and the bow chicka sounds like song starts like bow bow. He's like yogurt probiotics.
It's looking at a Dave. Huge vat of yogurt.
Yeah. Also, I feel like weren't you like maybe allowed to? Are you allowed to use some sort of lift in a Costco occasionally? Like some sort of mechanical
like
thing,
a platform that,
like,
that brings you to the trampolines.
That might be it. Yeah, I was like. I would just, like, say that I wanted stuff that was up high so that I could get on the lift. I'd be like, yeah, that thing. You know, it didn't matter what it was. My mom would be like, you want a safe? And I'd be like, yes, yes, put me on the lift. Put me on the lift. I need my anvil, please.
So one of the things that is, like, you know, very well known, what Costco is known for beyond comically large portions of frozen food and stuff, is their famous $1.50 hot dog and a soda combo. This website I'm looking at actually calls this an infamous $1.50 hot dog and a soda combo, which I think is a real misapplication of that term.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's infamous.
People misuse that word, I feel like, all the time.
It's famous. It's
notorious.
Great.
People, you know, infamously.
Like, it's not a bank robber.
Exactly, yeah. It's not the hot dog didn't like kill its girlfriend in the 80s. Like, why is this infamous? Like,
there's not a sheriff trying to drive it out of town.
Yeah.
When the hot dog deal walks into a saloon, the piano stops playing.
Yeah, the hot dog soda deal was actually first came to fame as a result of the Preppy killing in New York. The hot dog met the soda at a Dorian's Red Hand, a bar on the Upper East Side. And
yeah, and they went to Central Park, and it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
A train Dorian's Red Hand. I just watched The Last Days of Disco the other day, and so I feel like the Preppy killing is like very fresh on my mind. I feel like the people in that movie definitely hung out at Dorian's Red Hand. No question.
They probably did. Dorian's is, I went there, God, it's probably 10 years ago now, but it's, you know.
Is it still there?
Yeah, it's still there. I mean, I assume with everything going on, they have food. Yeah.
Next What a Time live show at Dorian's Red Hand. Come see us.
I mean,
do not go with a stranger to Central Park afterwards.
Yeah, we don't go to like any park.
Do not go to Central Park with a Costco hot dog.
Yeah, that's just like a train conductor like feeling a hot dog press into his back. Oh no, the infamous deal. Lock the passenger cars.
The hot dog just walks into an Old West bank. Y'all know who I am. Y'all know why I'm here.
An old-timey bundle of dynamite under a train track, and then when you follow the fuse, it's a hot dog sitting on top of a detonator that's slowly lowering. The infamous hot dog deal.
Yep.
So, this classic deal, one of the top deals, very good. They naturally, as time has gone on, so they introduced the deal in 1984, and naturally, like, prices have gone up since then, and Costco brought in a new CEO. I'm trying to figure out when this happened. 2018, apparently. Costco brought in a new CEO, and one of the first things the CEO said was, this is a quote directly from him to the founder. He said, "Jim, we can't sell this hot dog for $1.50. We're losing our rear ends," which is very funny.
I'm picturing this happening on the bridge of the Enterprise. That's what this feels like.
Well, I feel like it's a very, I'm imagining like the fucking, you know, the guy going up to Darth Vader and then getting force choked because he says, like, look, we're losing money. We can't sell this. We got to raise the price. if we went to 175, it would probably be worth it. And Jim Senegal, the co-founder, turns to him and says, if you raise the effing hot dog, I will kill you. Figure it out. It's so good. I will kill you.
It's just one of those things where he's like, this is our heart. You know, this is, yeah. Like, you can't take this away.
I will shoot you with a gun. It's like, all right, man. Yeah.
I love the...
I'm trying to make you more money.
Yeah, me and Catherine almost got into a spat, but I won't discuss that. But I also think it's funny to imagine them trying to figure out how to lower costs on this and just being like, there's no way to make... Like, you can't get, like, a less expensive hot dog. They're like, we're already using the cheapest hot dog and some Coca-Cola syrup. Like, there's no way that we do this.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking before this about, like, cost margin and, like, how... Like, it seems like you could do this for $1.50 and not lose money. Like, how much is a hot dog, really? But apparently, they're just in the basement already. Like, they're not...
Yeah.
I guess it's because, like, look, you got to rent the giant Costco warehouse... You got to pay the hot dog makers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you remember when it was like a popular, I don't know if it's like a popular thing, or it was something that people used to say, I feel like, where they'd be like talking about clothes and they'd be like, cotton to make jeans only costs like $4. It's like, that's not how this works at all. Like, you can't, it's not like at cost to make, you know, like it's not just,
yeah,
the
you're
cost
just,
of
you're
the
just kind of like
buttons.
Disregarding the whole idea of like brands and fashion, which like fine, but like, yeah. Okay, yeah, we're not like, we could all wear like, you know, rags, but like to keep us clothed technically, but that's not how the world works, unfortunately.
I saw a good meme the other day that was like, it was like a Karl Marx with like laser eyes. And it was like me when a YouTube influencer says that a $20 worth of fabric that they've spent 4 hours making into a dress is a $20 dress. It was just like, come on. Like, think about this shit. Like, worked on this forever. Like, it's not just because you cost of materials doesn't mean that that's what the thing costs.
Yeah, have any of these people read Little Women? Come on.
Yeah. There's also that thing where all the YouTube influencers were just buying like trash off Wish and then selling it as like their necklaces. They were like, get my necklace. And it was just like terrible, just like costume jewelry they got off like Alibaba. And
they
just like jack up the price.
Respect. Anytime I get like an Instagram ad for any kind of like jewelry or whatever I want, I always reverse image search it and see if I can find it on Alibaba, and usually I can, and then I get it for $2.
Yeah. Kath is wearing 8 gold chains. You can't see it, but she's absolutely dripping in gold.
I'm terrible at accessories. I barely ever wear jewelry. Yeah. I just like don't know how to. I feel like I learned how to like dress, but I didn't learn how to do that stuff. Like,
I was talking to somebody last week. How about I want a chain, but I know I can't. I want a chain, but I don't want to ever wear it. I don't ever want to be seen wearing a chain. So I was like,
why?
What? Because it's a vibe. It's like a whole thing. I don't know. But I was like, what if I got like a house chain? like a chain for when I'm just like watching TV. I just want like a thin Cuban that I can wear when I'm like sitting on my couch. I
could
lay on
like
my couch
could wear
and just kind of like
public.
Rub it in my, I don't know. Let's see.
I think you could pull it off. Like, I don't know. I'm just about, you already have the poker jacket that like already.
Yeah, but am I going to, then I can't wear the chain and the poker jacket.
Why not?
Are you kidding me? Like, that's...
I just feel like you should lean into being that guy. Like, I remember when you bought that jacket, you were like, I want to look like a guy that sells drugs to private school kids. That's what
I've
want.
I've always said that the style that I'm trying to pursue the most is prep school drug dealer. That's how my vibe I've always been going
through. And that guy wears a thin Cuban chain, so I think you should go for it.
No, his rich parents would be like, that's very new money, and they'd make him take it off, but they let him keep the jacket.
That motherfucker don't miss, man.
If someone says that about me, I'll keep wearing it.
Absolutely. When I was a kid, I don't know what age I stopped, probably before high school, but I got as gifts, I got like a gold chain with a cross, and then I got a Celtic cross when we went to Ireland. I used to wear those, and I'm only now realizing that's kind of weird that a kid would be wearing a gold, like, you know, it's like a otherwise
kind of rules, huh?
Super white kid would be wearing just like a you know, non-Italian, not culturally a thing that, like, I feel like Irish kids in Connecticut would be wearing.
I mean, I don't know.
Papamo's a chain guy, right? Papamo has a chain.
Yeah, yeah, like Catholic. I feel like any Catholic culture, chains are a part of it. Like, there's gold. There is gold somewhere if you are from a Catholic culture.
I feel like if you're super Irish or something, though, like that turns into a tattoo at a certain point.
And that's true. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It absorbs into your skin.
It never turned into a tattoo for me.
It just you get like I don't know. Maybe it is tan somehow. There's like a little cross tanned into your. Yeah,
maybe it's just like my background is in Italian, but like I'm always pro chain. I think they're great. I think
it's also like
chains.
A chest hair thing, where it's just like, man, I'm gonna really look like an absolute pornographer if I get a chain.
It's like, that's a cool way to look now. It's very trendy.
Yeah,
I think you should do it.
So sign up for our Patreon so I can buy a chain. So I can buy my house chain, my house Cuban. What if I just got like a huge dookie chain hanging on a hook? Like when I walk in and out, there's a coat rack at my door and there's like my coat and my dookie chain.
You like, it's where your keys go. So like you take the chain off, put your keys there, and then you switch them when you go outside.
Yeah.
I feel like house chain does kind of make it sound like you are imprisoned in your home, but but I do like the idea.
But in fact, I'm freer than ever before. That's the truth.
Yeah, house chain sounds like you're either a chain chomp from Mario universe or something out of the film Black Snake Moan.
Thank you for making the reference before I
could. Yeah, I'm the Bow Wow from Link's Awakening. That's me. I have to be released.
Well, the end of the story, basically, happy ending. They did not raise the price, and therefore the CEO was not killed by the founder of Costco.
No murder happened.
So, great stuff.
Yeah.
So we can all go get our $1.50 hot dog still, and I think that's rad. Costco, check it out. Make a friend with a membership if you don't have one.
Mm-hmm. Number three.
All right, number three comes to us from Wet Bigfoots. This is the story of, I guess this is because of the anniversary. It's a story that nothing really happened, but just time continues to pass. A Illinois man has just recently celebrated the 60th anniversary of continuing to hold on to an old frozen sandwich partially eaten by Richard Nixon. That's this guy's whole thing.
Suck it to me.
Yep. I guess when he was like 14, this guy, Steve Jenny, he was in at a barbecue or something, and ahead of a speech, somebody gave Nixon a barbecue buffalo sandwich on a paper plate. And I guess Nixon took a couple of bites, said how good it was, and this kid just decided to take the sandwich after everyone left it there, and he just took it and went home and gave it to his mom to freeze in the freezer. The sandwich went in a plastic bag, inside an applesauce jar, and stuck it in the freezer. I assume the applesauce jar was empty of applesauce.
No, you gotta hide it in case someone wants it.
It's like drugs.
They were smuggling it. Yeah.
It went inside a packet of coffee grounds and was shipped. It's just still, he still has it. And he, in 1988, he went on the Carson because of the sandwich. Not clear on why.
That sounds right. That's me? I'm surprised he wasn't like a recurring Letterman guest.
It's also weird because it's like, when he went on, it was in 88. That was the 28th year. That's not even like an anniversary. Somebody just must have found out about it and was like, get this guy.
Get this weirdo on television.
I like how you set this up where he is, quote unquote, celebrating the anniversary of continuing to hold on to a sandwich.
It's such a, so many qualifiers.
It's also really funny to me that like Nixon took a few bites. Like, it probably wasn't a very good sandwich. Like, he probably didn't like it that much.
He definitely would have said it was good either way if it was somebody that it would have hurt him to say it was bad.
That's politicians 101.
If you make the president a sandwich, you're hoping he says it's good. I mean,
the book, if you make the president a sandwich, he's going to want more.
This sandwich tastes like shit.
Like, personally, if I were making Donald Trump a sandwich, I would not, that would not be my main, like issue, but I feel like if you're at a barbecue and Nixon is there and you have given him a sandwich, you probably are looking for a compliment.
I saw somebody trying to say, like, you know, they were trying to do their like an internet investigator trying to debunk this whole thing and said, like, they didn't have buffalo chicken in 1968 and it's like, well, in 1960 it's like, well, it says barbecue buffalo, not buffalo chicken, so learn how to read, whoever that person
what is. Barbecue buffalo, it was buffalo, it's like, meat,
it's like buffalo meat. Yeah,
okay. I definitely assumed a buffalo chicken sandwich as well.
It says barbecue buffalo, so
I think I think you're right. Yeah,
they're having a buffalo roast
back when they were still roaming the Great Plains before that was 1960, right? That was
in that case. I definitely think that Nixon didn't like that sandwich.
I mean, like buffalo burgers, like it's like leaner, it's like not that different from beef.
Yeah, bison's pretty good actually.
I don't mean because I think buffalo tastes bad. I mean, it's a unusual meat that he only took a few bites of, said it was good, and then left it.
Yeah,
I feel like
I don't think he liked
probably
it.
Did not like it.
Mm-hmm. I found a great picture of the guy on Carson. I just put in the chat there, but he's pretty good. He's like kind of natural. Like I have to say, as like some weird guy who just has like a sandwich. I assume he had something else going on in his life at this point. You know, he had a job.
He looks like way more professional than I would expect.
I was expecting somebody more eccentric. This guy looks like a
he was like a big gold
yuppie.
Watch. Yeah,
yeah.
He's just like sitting and chilling. I'll put the link in there too. Yeah. Like and you can. So one thing is, Carson like opened the jar, it looks like, and like looked at the sandwich. So like that, they broke the seal after all those years.
Wow.
And they found like the newspaper article of the picture of Nixon biting into a sandwich. I don't know if it's this sandwich.
God. Confirmed. Nixon once ate a sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't even know if this makes sense, but I feel like of everybody to eat a sandwich, I feel like Nixon would be, he's got like jowls, I feel like be like so slobbery. I feel like it'd be like doubly be like not that. Yeah, he just like get it all over.
That's the sound he makes.
It's like,
when he eats a sandwich.
Well, this was when he was still relatively young. I mean, 60 is like, you know, before he was, well before, you know, like, so I mean, yeah, I mean, by the time he was out, yeah, but so
he wasn't as jowly as he
I mean, my image of Richard Nixon is literally, I have seen more cartoons of him than I have ever seen an actual picture of him.
He was actually only vice president then anyway. Like he wasn't you know,
so this guy saved it because he knew what was coming. He was like, this sandwich is going to be big one day.
Yeah.
If someone's this guy, he's going places.
If someone says Richard Nixon, my mental image is the Futurama head in a jar. Like I don't even imagine a picture of him. I'm just like the guy, like the Futurama head. But yeah.
So he let's see here. The other thing about this guy is this guy really milked this thing. He wrote a book this year called The Sandwich That Changed My Life. And
he was on Carson?
It's about Johnny Carson did not write a
No, I'm saying like what I'm just really like what. How did your life change?
Yeah, I guess he just, you know.
His life changed because he found the sandwich when he was 14 and he got older and became an adult.
The main thing is
he attributes that all to the sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah, the main thing seems to be, okay, so I guess here we go. So in the description of the thing, it's available on Amazon paperback, $14.99.
Good price.
So Carson gave him as part of this bit on the show, he gave this guy a sandwich that Carson had a couple bites out of. Like he ate a couple bites of a sandwich on the show and then I guess he got food contributions from Steve Martin, Tiny Tim, the ukulele playing guy with the super high voice, and others. So really a time
and
capsule
others.
And I don't know who the others are.
So
but I guess you have to read the book.
The others
to find
are
that out.
Less famous than Tiny Tim.
That's right.
Based
they
on
didn't
that
make
formulation.
The cut. Tiny Tim beat
from
them
an
out
SEO
for
perspective,
the press release.
That seems correct to me. But I mean, like, this is apparently like, you know, I'm sure this is a nice book, but it's just like, man, how long? But it's like, I guess he's got more going on than like, you know, I don't know, like a person who's like 25 that has a memoir or something, you know, or whatever. You
yeah.
know?
I mean, I feel like that is maybe an interesting thing if you are already a person who has demonstrated writing talent. Like, maybe you could make that into a book that would be remotely interesting. But
I think short story tops. It could be you could make it into an anthology, perhaps, with a story about this.
Well, but okay, he has a co-author. So that's,
yeah, I was like, if this is ghostwritten, it's going to be that's unbelievable.
Yeah,
you got a ghostwriter to talk about.
It's just somebody approached him. Although this year, like, why would you approach him this year? Like, of all
the books from this year, you know.
Didn't you say it's from this year or like a few years ago?
Yeah, the book came out in August. Yes, the book is
from
this year.
So it took him how many years to write this?
I'm assuming he's been writing it
the
whole
time. How many drafts do you think he did?
60 years. He wrote one word a month. it's 146 pages. So yeah, it's not too long. It's just, you know, and it's just like, hey, whatever, you know. It's not a... He got someone to make the paperbacks, you know,
this isn't a book. This is a pamphlet you're distributing.
Yeah. What's like a famous novella? Cause I'm sure that there's like a novella that has like a truly gripping story that is shorter than the book about the man, the Nixon sandwich.
The Mist by Stephen King.
Yeah, sure.
No, it's 176. I'm wrong. Sorry.
Oh, so it's about the same. You could either read The Mist or you could read about this guy's sandwich.
You could read Upton Sinclair's The Jungle instead of this and learn about the production of that sandwich.
Yeah, you could read, depending on the edition you buy, Heart of Darkness by Joseph Conrad. So that's this guy. I mean, good for him, you know, I guess. He's got his thing, you know. I think we're all looking for our thing in life on a certain level. This guy just happens to be having a sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or some sandwiches. This funny. The article doesn't even mention the other. The article does not mention the other sandwiches. So,
yeah. I wonder if they're all sandwiches.
Hungry,
yeah,
it's a hard boiled egg.
He's revealed as a fraud because he's eaten all the food that people gave him.
Wait a minute. We've carbon dated this sandwich, and
have the original, but I got hungry. I'm sorry.
A good quote here is: "As long as I'm living, that sandwich will be stored in my freezer in a container that is labeled "Save, don't throw away." I love the idea that you need that label. It's like, come on, man. We know.
Dead dove, do not eat.
Yeah. Well, you mean the same label that's like on yogurt in a work fridge? Like,
I think whoever you live with knows not to throw out the thing that's your thing. You know?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Like your whole deal.
Oh, was I not supposed to? Yeah. Exactly. So hey, look, good for this guy is what I say. That's my best of luck to the continuing holding of the sandwich. Yeah. Hopefully nobody loses power and stays safe.
Find your bliss, you know.
Although it's sealed in a jar, so, you know.
It'll be okay.
I hope it has like a surviving like typhoid in it or something. Like something like Nixon secretly had, and then like he's like, "Look, it's the Nixon sandwich," and it just starts, well, let's not talk about pandemic, but you know. That sort of thing.
Number two, I just lost the story. Vamp, everybody.
Huh.
Are you doing... this is perfect for me trying to find this.
Kath, you had a story open. What was it?
You got it.
Okay, I found it. I found it.
You had $1 million.
$100.
So, a bunch of people sent us this, including Bussy Esquire, who got it via JF in the Discord. The story comes to us from our very own New York City Grand Central Terminal, the subway station that I used to use to go to our studio back when we recorded in person. Basically what happened is they say railroad employees, so I guess not MTA. I guess these were like some kind of other, like whatever, some other rail service. They have been suspended without pay because it was discovered that they had converted a room underneath Grand Central, you know, deep down in the bowels of Grand Central, into their own personal quote-unquote man cave.
This is just the Ninja Turtles. That's what this is.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. And it kind of looks like an apocalypse bunker a little bit. But yeah, they got it all set up. They had a wall-mounted TV. They could stream on it. They had Netflix and stuff.
Oh, Chromecast?
They probably had a Chromecast. They had a futon, a couch, a refrigerator, an air mattress, and a microwave. So it was
basically
just like a
dorm
little
room.
Yeah, it was a little dorm room, a little chill room. They do in the article have a picture of the futon, and it looks like it's been through many dorm rooms. It's
the futon.
It is the futon. It is like very saggy in the middle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been through some stuff, but
it's
they
sort
also
of folds,
on,
not really.
On top of the, it's such a like it truly is a man cave, because on top of the microwave there's a box for a pull up bar, which I think is very funny. Like,
yeah, there's a couple of empty bottles of Captain Morgan lined up.
Yeah.
There's empty Gatorade bottles.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, they got it all. But yeah, apparently there was a complaint filed against them in 2019. Somebody reported the room. The complainant said that these three employees would, quote, hang out and get drunk and party in this room.
Who reported them? Fuck that person.
I
Why
know.
Do you give a shit? Is it, a snitch. If they're not on the clock, who fucking cares?
If they're not drunk driving those trains, like, whatever.
Yeah. The other funny thing in this picture is that the TV has, if this isn't just like a secondary picture or somebody put this in, the TV seems to have a screensaver of a Fortnite streamer on it.
Is that who that is? Okay, yeah, I was like, this guy, Tfue. I know this is funny, but I don't understand what it is.
It's like the guy that replaced Ninja when Ninja left Twitch. Like, nice. So I guess they're like watching Fortnite streams in their little man cave.
In their little windowless man cave deep in the bowels of Grand Central.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think this is rad. I mean, clearly that room wasn't being used otherwise. I mean, yeah, don't get drunk on the job, but, you know.
But if you're off the job.
If you're off the job and, like, you're working long hours, maybe you don't want to go home yet, and you don't want to pay the prices for the Grand Central Oyster Bar.
After a long day of working in the subway, the last thing you want to do is take the subway.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get in your little man cave and watch Tfue play Fortnite and drink Captain Morgan, drink some Fireball whiskey or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. So I guess they were Metro North employees. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you can. The whole thing about Metro North is you can drink on
Metro North. Yeah. they're just trying to. They were like hanging out of the man cave, trying to get people to come party with them that were getting off the Metro North, just holding out a bottle of 99 bananas or whatever. And they're like, come on, we're making fucking buttery nipples. Get in here.
I love like your that. Conception of them, that they're like, they're literally like college kids.
Yeah,
that's what they drink.
Well, when they're watching Fortnite streams, I am literally like, how old are they? Like, I feel like they might be like pretty young. As in, like, you know, maybe they just went straight
into it. Maybe they're teenage mutant.
Yeah. Maybe they're mutants.
Teenage mutant Metro North employees, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles if they weren't turtles. So it's just four teenagers and an old guy.
They're going down there to train with a giant rat.
With the pull-up bar, yeah. That's what the pull-up bar is for.
It's all the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ever did, just pull-ups. It's the whole body workout.
I do that. I feel like that should be added to the canon of like things in a boy apartment is a box for a pull-up bar. Like a 1/8 full Gatorade on a nightstand.
Pull-up bars are so funny. Because
they're really funny.
95% of people with a pull-up bar top out at 5 pull-ups. So it's like, oh, you're doing like 3 to 5 pull-ups a day on that bad thing. But it's worth that to you to make one of your doorways look insane. Like, oh, man.
That's my goal. I want to be able to do it. I want to be able to do one because I can.
Oh, we had a fitness test in middle school that involved a pull-up.
I remember that. Yeah.
And you had to try. So it was like...
humiliating.
If you're like a fat kid, it just was like, hey, why don't you get up there and flop like a salmon until I say it's okay for you to stop trying?
Yeah, no, like, I vividly remember that, and I remember like everybody had to watch you, like we'd all sit there and watch you, and like I've been like fat my whole life, and so body weight wise, like even though I was like in relatively like I wasn't weak or anything, but like no, I couldn't pull myself up. Like, well, and then if you couldn't pull yourself up, you could do the hang. Did you have that too? Like, it was like, you can do a pull-up or we'll time you and see how long you can hang with your chin above the
bar.
And I couldn't even
chin
do that.
Above, okay. I was like,
not
see
just
how
like
long
slack
you're
hang.
See how long you're going to hold your fucking body, your fat body weight above.
No, yeah, it was like you hold your chin above the bar. And even that I could not do. And it was humiliating.
The pull-up is an absolute curse for chubby kids and adults alike. Because,
so mean.
Like, at least if it's like a bench press or something, you get the benefit of body weight. But in pull-ups, it's like... hey, you're probably not strong, and you also weigh more than anybody else. So it's like,
yeah,
that strong kid's going to do more than you. Also, it's easy for them because they weigh like 90 pounds or something.
Right, yeah. God. No, it was very cruel. Mm-hmm. Push-ups are kind of the same way because it's like body weight. But the push-ups are a lot easier than pull-ups.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, empty pull-up bar box, classic boy apartment accessory. You know, you eat your chicken breast with sriracha on it, and then you bust out 3 pull-ups and call it a day.
One of those huge cans.
Stop this. Stop doing this. Stop saying all these things.
No, that's not your life anymore. You live with your girlfriend, so you
that's
have
true.
You're yeah. a civilized man.
One of those gigantic tubes of like what's the guy's name, like Tony something's Creole seasoning, like the do you guys know
yeah no Paul Perdomo's various types of magic, meat magic, chicken magic,
man. I've been
just throw a bunch of those away like last year, definitely not.
I've been living in my the apartment I live in now, I've been living here for 2 years, but my two roommates who just moved out had been here for like 5. And so when I moved in, like all the available like storage places in the apartment were just like full of their crap because they'd been there longer than me. Now that they've finally moved out, I'm like going through everything and throwing shit away. And last weekend I threw away 4 1/8 full garlic powders.
Give them to me. Those things are expensive.
At least 2 meat magics, at least. A bunch of fucking Zatarans, like so much cumin. Who needs that much cumin? Just
making a lot of chili.
All of it expired years ago.
Were they big chili heads? Did they compete in a lot of cook-offs?
These are all chili. That's the thing that's so crazy. I lived with them for 2 years. I only ever saw them eat pasta with pesto on it. Like, I don't understand where all this stuff came from. Dude, I think a lot of it was roommates who had moved out before me. Like, it was so much stuff.
Also, it's like spices are so expensive. Because I moved into my new place and, like, I didn't, you know, have spices because I haven't. And, like, I went down to the grocery store and bought, like, just, like, the basics and stuff. And full on got sticker shocked at the grocery store. Like, they were like, yeah, sure, that's gonna be this much. And I was like, am I at like Best Buy? This is like what a TV costs. I was like,
getting set up with the basics can be kind of expensive.
Yeah, it's really expensive. And I was like, yeah, maybe I'll just eat, do I like spices? Maybe I'll just eat bland chicken. Maybe I'll just eat
tuna fish and soup.
I read an article. I'm not seeking this stuff out. I should say that. I'm not like looking for this. But I read, maybe it was not an article. It was like a Twitter thread about why British food is so unspicy, or like natively, is because that when, because like rich people had spices because they're so expensive. And then when like colonization and stuff happened, spices got cheaper. Poor people started being able to spice their foods. And the rich were such dickheads that they were like, well, if they have spices, we don't want spices. And then they just started not spicing anything and being like, it's actually much cooler and nicer to like not put any seasoning on your chicken. And now that's British cuisine, unfortunately for everybody. Yeah, I was fascinated. I'm being vindicated, honestly, between this and last week when someone sent me that there's an actual bug pudding recipe.
No, you're definitely in the right on this one for sure.
Unimpeachable.
But yeah, These man cave people, I guess they have not released their identities or their ages, but I think we're probably right to assume they are young. I can't imagine some like 45-year-old like Union Metro North guy hanging out and watching Tfue.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have been. I don't think they've been fired. I think they're just suspended at the moment.
That union, baby.
They got a on, fellas, from management.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I was going to say. Honestly, it's like, if you just left high school and were able to immediately get a good union job, go for it, man. Watch Tfue on your time off.
Absolutely.
Fix some subway lines or whatever.
Yeah, we're super on we're on the Metro North train with these fellas. We're with them.
Yeah. And a lot of guys drinking Four Loko. This Metro North experience.
All right. Ready for number one?
Let's do it.
And this week's number one reason to say, what a time to be alive.
Number one this week, at first seems like a story we may have done many times, but it is a saga. Let me tell you, this is a story of a notorious, this accurately is an infamous baboon in South Africa. So there is in South Africa, this is in Cape Town, there is like, he is known as like the worst baboon, and his name is Kataza, which means trouble. And he, they said he has terrorized residents for months in the seaside village of, I'm not going to know how to pronounce that, Kometji. So he does that. And according to, there's something called the Cape Town Baboon Technical Team. And they have, no joke, a file on Kataza. Kataza has a goddamn folder on him.
He's got a jacket.
Dude, yeah. He's got, like, they can look
him
up.
He's got a rap sheet.
Look, lifting his little baboon fingerprints from whatever he does. So he's like, they say that they've noticed he solicits other baboons to join him. So he's literally like, he's like, come on, fellas, let's go fuck shit up and down in Cape Town or whatever. And so they finally caught Kataza. And, you know, they finally did catch him. This seems mean. The primate was taken in by authorities after a recent raid of several suburban homes. And then they just took him and, I guess, dropped him off in a different place, which seems like not a good solution.
They drove him right over the county line.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you guys deal with this. New jurisdiction.
Right. This is your problem now.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, this is a story which we've done like many times like this, except that now everyone apparently loves Kataza, the infamous
baboon. He's a folk hero.
And I'm looking at a photo of a big banner hanging up in Cape Town that says hashtag bring Kataza back. They want them to go get Kataza and bring him back because there's like a whole social media campaign and they say, this is a woman from a conservation organization named Baboon Matters, which I think means like the baboons matter, but it also sounds like like a website or a magazine you'd read
it's like a public access talk show hosted by baboons.
Right. yeah, it's their newspaper. It's their free alt weekly newspaper.
Like it starts off pretty friendly.
Every Sunday morning. Baboon Matters.
Two baboons sitting on like what looks exactly like the set of Charlie Rose are just slamming the table and screaming at each other.
I'm just imagining like that, like that shitty public access sound quality where it's like there's like tape hiss and then it's just like calm throat clearing and then this noise.
So
they're wearing like little round glasses. That's what I'm imagining.
Yeah, which they take off when they start screaming.
Yeah, they just and then start screaming.
Yeah, so they're basically saying they're like baboons are criminalized for things that baboons do normally. So like this is just the nature of baboons. They're just opportunistic foragers. And this is like really sprouted and this so that was one news story, but now there is a true like movement of hashtag bring back Kataza like took off. People want him back. I also shared with you guys earlier, but the beginning of this article on the Kataza movement is so good, where it says, to supporters, he is known as Kataza. To the rangers who named him, he is Katazo. In official documents, he appears as SK-11. So this is like the fucking blacklist. It's like, you know,
he goes
like,
by many names.
Yeah, it's like SK-11. They're like, we have a file name for him. He wants to be called Kataza. We don't call him Kataza. His rap sheet is expensive. Oh, yeah. Wait, I'll read it again with this music. To supporters, he is known as Kataza. To the rangers who named him, he is Kataza. In official documents, he appears as SK-11. His rap sheet is extensive. And then they have like a timeline of things he's done.
This is like that voiceover of you doing that is the opening to his like 1960s action TV show.
Which I would love to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, they have his rap sheet here. April 2020, SK-11 raided 5 occupied homes in Kometji. May 2020, SK-11 broke through security 10 times and attempted to do so another 9 times. The report says that when he broke the line, he generally solicited other individuals to join him in raiding town. June 2020, SK-11 led a splinter troop into the urban area on 8 occasions. July and August 2020, SK-11 led the troop into Kometji 15 times. So, like, yeah. And he has... This is also just perfect for this. How do you recognize Kitaza? He has a scratch mark on his right cheek. He has, like, a Bond villain scar.
He's Scar. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like Blofeld.
Yeah. This is also super weird. So this woman who runs Baboon Matters.
Yeah, I'm picturing this whole like rap sheet as like the text at the beginning of like the movie Cobra. Like, yes. Like.
Or this is at the end of a documentary about Kitaza and how hard it was to catch him, and then this is at the end before the credits. It's like since the end of this filming, Kitaza has re-entered town 11 times.
He's at large, leading a splinter group.
Splinter group is so funny.
It's really good.
It feels
good.
Like they were going to say Splinter Cell, but they didn't. It's the baboon with the Splinter Cell, the Tom Clancy triple fucking night vision.
Right, like it's like he's a terrorist or something. Like yeah. He's like a clandestine.
Yeah.
It's like the IRA, like the real IRA, and then the first. Yeah, all the.
Oh my god! Yeah. So yeah, one weird thing is that this lady who runs Baboon Matters describes baboons as her quote soul food, which I don't think she knows what that means.
She eating them? She's eating them.
Yeah, it seems
what's
like
that? Yeah, I don't want to help her. Like, that doesn't sound like it's really helping Kitaza.
Yeah. And,
she wants to eat him and absorb his powers. That's really what's happening here.
And so this whole thing is just, I mean, the person writing this definitely is having a good time. So there's an ecologist that they recorded Kitaza as a young adult male who's submissive to the alpha male, and he had not yet begun the male baboon behavior known as consorting. Prolonged periods of following and mating with receptive females. And then he says, Kitaza has since commenced consorting. So Kitaza's fucking.
Kitaza's out there fucking, yeah.
He's getting it in.
And then, yes. So what Kitaza's done apparently is rather than challenge and defeat the alpha male, he's doubling down on pleasures and taking a small group of females to a town where food is abundant and he is having both his cake and copulations. So he's like, he's basically like, come on, we're going to party. He's like a goddamn club promoter. And then he goes and wrecks like suburban homes with his harem of baboon ladies.
He's putting little flyers underneath all the other baboons' windshields to let them know.
And after he does crimes, he just has the party like in Roadhouse where they all just go nuts at Brad Wesley's pool.
Yeah.
The baboons dance exactly like the lady who stands on a table in Roadhouse.
Yes. Or the one big tall guy. It's like, he's adorable, isn't he? Like, just like very, very normal way to talk about henchmen.
Yeah. And
that movie, like, really more than any others, like outline some like real weird power dynamics between henchmen and their leaders. I feel like in a lot of movies the henchmen are like kind of nondescript and like they don't really have much personality. But in Roadhouse it's like they give them enough personality that you're like, this is a weird relationship.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, wow, Brad Wesley's abusive. He's not a good guy. Like, of course he's not a good guy. He's the bad guy. But even within the dynamic of with the henchmen, he's a bad guy.
He's yeah, exactly.
And then the one guy, it's like, look, man, if your thing is to be like a fat guy in suspenders with a little knife, you're not going to be the number one. You're like always going to be number two. Just because
you can't, the vibe you've
chosen is so weird.
There's not a lot of like opportunity for advancement in being the fat guy with a little knife. there's not upward mobility in that position.
Yeah.
You know?
Fat guy with a little knife. So they're really because they say that they think that Kitaza's intention is to form a splinter group, which I just want to say splinter cell, but he says he has his own little splinter group of females. He's trained them, and they also want to go to town with him, which I'm not sure if is a euphemism or is also just true.
Works, regular I think town. Works both ways.
They want to go to town on him.
They want to go to town and go to town when they're in town, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm imagining also the montage in Wet Hot American Summer now. Is what these baboons are doing, where they go into town.
Oh, yeah, they're all in a pickup. Yeah, Kitaza drives a pickup truck with all the
and they all go into town,
in the
and
back.
They just, like, it escalates into them, like, shooting heroin in the town, like all the camp counselors. Yeah, that's what I'm imagining.
Just, again, saloon doors. Now this is infamous. Saloon doors swing open, everyone looks, and it's just Kitaza, like, with reaching up to pop the saloon doors open.
Yeah, with his weird, giant, long monkey arms.
Yeah. So there's apparently there are three main camps in this big whole Kitaza issue. The first is the one we've heard about, which is like baboon activists who say that it's like cruel and unhelpful, doesn't do that. And then the particular sticking point is apparently, I think we've talked about this before, their main method to dissuade Kitaza is to shoot him with a paintball gun. So they don't like that. And then they say they've been opposed to the paintballing for years.
That's good.
The second camp is... there's a biodiverse. This is, I got a lot of big words in here, confusing me.
oh my god, we got to help him out.
Yeah, please.
Do you need to share your screen? We can read it for you. You know, if you pronounce it.
There's like, it's just one of those things where it's suddenly like this. It suddenly went from like a regular, you know, like prose article to be. This literally looks like a study. Like I'm reading like a research study. This is very accurate for me. Okay, so this is just like their second camp seems to just be people who are like don't think they're doing a great job but aren't against it. They're just like, there's one camp that's just like the way they do, they're bad at this but they should be doing it. And then yeah, the third camp are the residents affected by the pillaging baboons.
They probably don't love this bit of bring back Kitaza, the people who've been pillaged. They're probably like, this is not that funny, actually.
Yeah.
There are monkeys fucking in my house. I want them to go away.
Yeah, and, you know, this is all... This came to a head as well when there was apparently another infamous baboon named William, who... this isn't that funny, but he, like...
William ripped, is a very funny name.
Well, but, yeah.
For a baboon, yes.
He ripped the sliding doors off a lady's house. It was like a pregnant woman with a toddler, and he ripped her doors off. And then that's William was unfortunately euthanized. And on the Baboon Matters website, they have, like, I guess, a memorial to him, referring to him as William the Conqueror and describing him as a huge, gorgeous boy.
Aww. So, R.I.P. to that huge, gorgeous boy.
Yeah. And they're like, somebody else is saying, is like, we don't shoot them that much because paintballs are expensive. So, but the signs are up. Bring back Kitaza. People want him back. Hopefully, you know, hopefully we can see. Give him another chance. He may have squandered his first 1 million chances, but I think give Kitaza another chance. I think he comes back.
It sounds like he is, like, breeding a super race of Kitazas in this other town.
Yeah.
There's just going to be so many of them.
They have so many heirs.
Yeah, well, he's making another Splinter Cell to raid the town.
This is going to be like, he's going to be like the Khotan Khan of baboons. He's just going to have this like incredible, like just like stable. I don't even know if that's really how that worked, but
stable, like the Nation of Domination or Degeneration X. Stable.
Yeah. So they want. Yeah, this baboon lady is a little weird. Unsurprisingly, the head of Baboon Matters is a little strange.
The corporate ministry, but it's baboons.
Yeah,
Baboon Matters LLC.
Yeah, they say, as things stand, Kitaza is living an itinerant life in Tokai. While the debate over circumstances rages on, one of the places he's been sleeping is atop the roof of Polesmore Prison.
Man, just mocking the people in there with his freedom.
Yeah. Every morning he goes to Tokai and sits there and looks at females. Then he gets chased off. That's life for a baboon.
Man, he's like an old guy at the pool or something. He's just like an old creep.
Yeah,
goes just and sits, goes. Looks at females, gets chased off.
Yeah.
It's like, just get what out a life. Of here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He seems cool. I'm for it. Come on the show, Kitaza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have Kitaza on the show. We'll discuss Baboon Life with him.
Well, we're changing our show to Baboon Matters. We're going to have Kitaza on as our first guest.
Yeah.
Look forward to that.
Here today is Kitaza to discuss.
You're not allowed to unsubscribe from the Patreon. We've locked in the charges.
Locking down our Patreon. You can no longer cancel.
And the entire podcast is changing. Yeah.
Yeah, we've put a block on it somehow. But yeah, it's Baboon Matters now.
It's like the U2 album. You're just getting Baboon Matters on your phone, no matter whether you like it or not.
You can't delete it. It does not allow you to delete it.
Yeah. I thought it was a real fire engine for a second.
This is the intro. That's the intro to Baboon Matters. That's what it sounds like.
It starts with them breaking into the studio.
Yeah, it's like the Eric Andre show every time. Like how it starts with him fucking up the
He just smashes the entire set. Yeah.
That's probably not the best place to go into plugs to say that you cannot unsubscribe from our Patreon, but oh well.
Oh yeah, now we have to plug being able to unsubscribe from our Patreon.
Yep. That's an important thing we emphasize every time we plug it.
Yeah.
Really a vote of confidence in
we
our
we don't have
quality.
Access to your bank account. We're not yeah, you can withdraw at any time. Yeah, plugs. Hey. Patreon.com/whatatimepod. Lots of bonus episodes, live show video. We got a Roadhouse commentary track. We talked about Roadhouse a little bit there. I don't think we used the phrase fat guy with a little knife, but that's another that's up there with All the Bears Are Fat This Year for me. It's very pleasing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got all that at 1,100 patrons. Eli's going to do a little art show of some of his old art.
We
can really
take the
do
word
almost
little
say,
out of it.
Yeah, sorry.
It's always described as a little art show.
I'm trying not to set expectations too high. Okay?
Yeah.
Look, you should just be happy that I'm not involuntarily saying fashion show again, because that is in my head every time I say it. I don't know.
Fashion.
I cannot. I have somebody else can do this from now on if we want to do that. 1,100, that is happening, and then at 1,200, we're going to do the Death Nut Challenge, where we're going to eat a series of spicier nuts, and then at 2,000, we are doing the NFL Combine, as well as, what do we add to it? Something we
shot
added?
Shot put. We added shot put. Right.
We're going to have to get a shot put.
We're going to have to get a shot, yeah.
So, that's patreon.com/whatatimepod. Lots of good stuff on there. We got the TeePublic link in the description. We got a couple new shirts, including a both from Josh Gondelman Riffs, and the latter or the more the Massachusetts based one is designed by a friend of the show, Jackopedia. So check those out. If you like the show, rate and review on iTunes. You know, tell your friends, all that kind of stuff.
Reach out to Discord. An old enemy.
Tell your enemies too. Whatever, you know. Hey, a play is a play. Discord. There's a good community on there. You can the link in the description to sign up, and you get the access to the private channels at the $10 subscription level. We're What a Time Pod on Twitter, What a Time Pod on Instagram, What a Time Podcast at gmail.com. And I am Patty Mo on all the stuff, and I don't have anything to plug.
I have another podcast called Lie, Cheat, and Steal. It's a true crime podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters. It comes out once a month in the free form, and then we do two Patreon-only bonus episodes a month. When we get to $1,000 a month in Patreon subscriptions, we're going to go to weekly, so there'll be two free episodes a month. So we're getting close, so if you're interested in that, it would be awesome if you could subscribe. It helps everybody because you get another free episode. I don't think I have anything to plug other than that, so check it out.
Cool. I actually have a big new thing that's been real fun. I've noticed a couple of people that maybe follow me on Twitch and podcast people have been there, but I am doing a new show on Twitch with some of my friends from College Humor called TV&D, where we do old school D&D like dungeon crawls as the cast of different television shows. We just finished the Seinfeld mini campaign where we were doing some dungeon crawling as George, Elaine, and Kramer. And the one of those is, you can see the VOD on Twitch. We're also going to put it on YouTube. And then we have a week off this coming Thursday. It's Thursdays at 9:30 Eastern on twitch.tv/TVND. But when we return next week, we will be doing a King of the Hill D&D campaign, which I'm excited about. I believe I'm currently playing Hank Hill as a fire-based sorcerer with a small Bobby Hill as his familiar that flies around him. So that should be
fun.
Yeah,
that makes
also,
sense.
You can follow me on my regular. Yeah, yeah. So you can also follow me on my personal Twitch at twitch.tv/pig_dog. Just finished The Last of Us. I don't know when I'm playing next, but check it out. And then, yeah, Twitter and all that and Patreon and et cetera.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Thank you, friends.
Bye.